I'm pretty sure whatever rain they had has moved on by now, and that means today is going to be pretty cloudy with highs of 70. And then looking ahead to the rest of the weekend, cools off tomorrow, nothing but sunshine throughout the weekend. Beautiful. 64 for a high Saturday, 69 Sunday, then moving into Super Bowl week. Monday starts off partly cloudy with highs of 74, warming a little bit throughout Super Bowl week, and then Super Bowl Eve, highs of 75, partly cloudy, and let's hope the day is as nice for the big game itself. Let's talk about flood insurance. If you have any questions or comments, I'd love to entertain them and see if we can get them answered, or maybe you just want to complain. I'm willing to hear that, too. Peter Wagoner joins us now, Senior Policy Advisor for GNO Inc. How you doing, Peter?
Hey, Tommy. I'm great. How are you?
I'm okay. Piggybacking off the conversation we had with Mark Rosa, I don't plan on, I hope I work until I die, but I'm not 40 years old either, so I did move some money a little bit from the 401k into something safer. I toyed with the idea of paying off my house, still am, but with that in mind, I looked at the insurance, the flood insurance, because, you know, when you have a mortgage, they escrow that money, and you might not really know what the total is, but I looked at what I would be talking about paying myself after paying the house off, and it was crazy when you look at the homeowners. It was crazy when you look at the flood insurance. Mm-hmm. The homeowners, you know, I don't know what they can do about it with the state legislature. That might not be something you want to talk about here. Maybe you can, but let's talk about flood insurance to begin with.
Absolutely. And great point. It is GNO Inc.'s hypothesis and thesis that affordable flood insurance coverage and affordable insurance coverage allows people to work in critical economies like ours in New Orleans, where we fuel and feed the world. It allows people to stay in their homes and stay in their jobs. So we are experiencing that in New Orleans and places like us. We're kind of the canary at this point. We're experiencing these acute cost increases and places across the country are as well. But do want to backtrack a little bit and talk about the National Flood Insurance Program. Mm-hmm. So flood insurance is totally separate from your homeowner's policy. Homeowner's insurance is regulated at a state-by-state level. Meanwhile, flood insurance is administered, the National Flood Insurance Program is under FEMA's oversight. So flood insurance has been around at the federal level, created by the National Flood Insurance Act of 1968. Due to a market failure where private insurers no longer wanted to write flood because they couldn't predict it. So FEMA took over the program in 1979, and they've run it ever since. So GNO Inc. got involved in 2013 in response to the Bigger Waters Act. We created the Coalition for Sustainable Flood Insurance, or CSFI. CSFI has grown to include over 800 contacts, really all over the country in over 35 states. Visit csfi.info to sign up and join if you're interested in learning more about flood insurance after this conversation. But the big change that everyone's talking about is risk rating 2.0. So this is FEMA's new pricing methodology. So risk rating 2.0 went into effect for new policies in October of 2021. It took effect for existing policies in April of 2022. If you have an existing policy, you're on a congressionally mandated 18% glide path a year. So your policy can only increase 18% a year, year over year, until you reach your full risk rate. So nationwide, full risk NFIP premiums are approximately doubling. To the national average is going to be about $1,800 per year. And again, we can look at this nationally because this is a federal program administered by FEMA. But in Louisiana, we see that we are actually not unique. Although Plaquemines Parish is one of the most expensive parishes, and there are outliers, in Louisiana, our average policy will be about $1,900, which is just a little bit more than average. However, Louisianians know about flood insurance, and we have incredible take-up rates. We have take-up rates that the rest of the country don't forget that 99% of counties have had a flood event since 1996. So flooding is common. It does not just affect us in Louisiana. However, in Louisiana, we know that we probably should have flood insurance. So we do purchase it. And thus we talk about it. And thus we are kind of the leaders in national advocacy around flood insurance.
Whatever happened with the lawsuits that were filed by Matt Jewell in St. Charles Parish, and I think the Attorney General got involved as well with determining the methodology to, because FEMA was very protective of that, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, great question. So, yeah, so FEMA's methodology was developed. St. Charles Parish had a concern. Again, Matt Jewell is an incredible leader, and he'll be able to speak to this better than me, but but St. Charles had a concern about basically freedom of information requests that FEMA was not complying with. So St. Charles Parish was trying to understand how rates for their parish were being developed and how levies were included in their premiums, and FEMA would not respond to their Freedom of Information Act requests. So they filed a lawsuit to get that information. And then on the state side, so led by Governor Landry when he was Attorney General, and 10 states in total filed a lawsuit against FEMA saying that FEMA had, you know, risk rating 2.0 was not constitutional and they had never gone through the proper rulemaking process. FEMA had never gone through a proper rulemaking process in order to implement risk rating 2.0. So that is actually still in motion. So FEMA, from what I believe, has turned over the administrative record to the AG's office for review. I believe there is maybe a date in May. One of the goals of that lawsuit was an injunction against risk rating 2.0, and the judge did not grant that injunction. However, the suit is continuing.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. I got a couple of texts coming in that you can address that I find to be interesting. One of them says, why don't they just, I hope President Trump starts a national government insurance across the board. Well, that's kind of what FEMA and flood insurance is, and it's not working out so well. Somebody else texted in and said, you know, government can't do anything right. Just let flood insurance go commercial. Let the free market reign. And I think you've already addressed that, but you can revisit when we come back. Peter Wagoner, our guest, senior policy advisor for GNO Inc. We're also going to talk about mitigation and a lack of attempts by FEMA to help with mitigation that you would think actuarially would drive down the rates, less claims. We'll talk more when we come back. 822 now, traffic, WWL. 827, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Quickly back to Peter Wagoner, senior policy advisor for GNO Inc. about the flood insurance crisis. Quick question on my part, Peter, is you said 18% glide path a year. Mm-hmm. Based on what? Because if they continue to increase rates, then you could keep gliding forever, right?
That's correct. That's correct. You have a full risk premium now, but they could update their data sources or methodology really at any point. And they say they will over the course of the future.
And the other point,
may be a moving target.
Before we get to the listeners' questions, is that you guys plan decades ahead. That's what GNO Inc. does, right? So what kind of long-term mm-hmm. implications could this have, not just with homeowners, but flood insurance with home ownership, business development, employment, et cetera?
Exactly. And that's the message that we're trying to promulgate, is that we need to maintain affordability, especially in working coastal communities like New Orleans, in order for farmers in Nebraska. The former administrator in charge of the FIP program was from Nebraska, was lieutenant governor there, cared deeply about the farmers, really kind of woke up and his eyes perked up when we explained that to him, that we basically will store the grain and ship that out for his farmer that he cares about so deeply.
When it comes to private companies letting a free market reign, as somebody texted in, didn't you tell me that private companies didn't want to write flood insurance? That's how the government got involved?
Exactly. And right now, private flood insurance coverage is growing, but that is a result of the terrible participation fall off in NFIP, unfortunately. So the other part of the story is that people are dropping the flood insurance policies, whether they are allowed to or not. So overall, we've seen a decrease in program participation by 4% since risk rating 2.0 took effect. Louisiana has lost about 14% of policies. Texas has lost nearly 20% of policies. This is really a national participation crisis, and 17 states have lost over 10% of policies since risk rating 2.0 took effect.
So whatever they're doing is not working. Actuarially, in the insurance business, it's not going to work. That leads me to mitigation and lowering risks and claims. Have they expressed any interest at all that they would be looking into that as an alternative or something?
So first floor, elevating your property can reduce your fund size premium. The problem with risk rating 2.0 right now is that there are so many factors involved. There's property level factors, geographic factors, and coverage factors. So there could be 20 or 30 rating factors. Your first floor is only one of them. So changing that might not necessarily change your bottom line premium as much as we wish it would.
Never enough time. Maybe one day come back, spend a 9 o'clock hour with us, take some questions, Peter, talk about flood and homeowners, okay?
Always happy to. This will be an ongoing issue.
Yeah,
Thank you, Tommy.
You got that right. Thank you. Peter Wagner, Senior Policy Advisor for GNO Inc. All right, 843, 17 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing good. I have the traditional, you can always tell when someone's at the Senior Bowl because they have a sunburn on half their face, because the stadium faces east and west or whatever direction would have to face. So you only get the sun from half the way. So right now I'm very red on the left side.
They won't let you go to the other sideline?
No. Well, so it's, the way it works is like the one side of the stadium is kind of media and fans and family and whatever. The other side is like teams and personnel, and they kind of sequester both sides. So you can actually tell which is which because the teams will have somewhere on the other side of the face.
Tim, get on a phone, change that for me, please. Make a phone call, just drop my name, and then Jeff will be able to go sit wherever he wants and even out his tan. Tell me about what you've been seeing at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, you know, it was good weather all 3 days. I'm back in New Orleans now. I drove home last night. But no, it's interesting. There's a lot of really intriguing offensive line, defensive line prospects. Some good wide receivers. There's always a few interesting quarterbacks out there. Jackson Dart is a guy people will know. It seems like every year there's one quarterback who shows up at the Senior Bowl and everyone's talking about him as a second or third round pick. And then suddenly, you know, draft day shows up and he's a top 15 pick. Last year it was Bo Nix. Way back it was Pat Mahomes. If you recall during the Senior Bowl a few years ago when Pat Mahomes was there, everyone was saying, I wonder if he might be like an option for the Saints at like 31 or 32, whenever they had that pick. That was 2017. And obviously, we know Pat Mahomes ended up going and number 10 head of the Saints. So I think Jackson Dart, if anybody out there would be that guy, he would. He's just very impressive, very accurate, can move very well. You know, he's just a really intriguing guy. And I know a lot of teams out there were taking a close look at him.
Would the Saints have any interest in drafting a quarterback this year? Would one be available where they could draft one?
You know, it's tough because right now, if we're talking about number 9, which is where the Saints are drafting, I don't know if anyone would make sense right there. So, like, Cam Ward, for example, is a great quarterback. He's probably going to go number 1 overall. Shedeur Sanders, it'll be interesting to see where people land on him. I would expect him to go. You know, the Raiders and Giants both need quarterbacks. They're right at the top of the draft. I'd be surprised if they don't end up with those two guys. So it would really be a question of, okay, does someone really elevate their draft stock from where it is right now? A guy like Jackson Dart, for example, and suddenly number 9, it feels a lot better. Right now, it really doesn't feel like there's a quarterback there. They could go second, third round. You know, a guy like Jalen Milroe is really intriguing. You know, it looks like Kellen Moore is the front runner for the head coaching job right now. If you are trying to develop an offense with Kellen Moore and you're trying to mimic what they're doing in Philadelphia, Jalen Milroe would make sense. And it's not just because his name is Jalen and their quarterback's name is Jalen. They do a lot of the same things. But he is a developmental guy. He's not a guy that you're going to plug in and feel like you can start on day one. He had some accuracy issues. He's got some stuff to work on. I could definitely see them drafting a quarterback. You're going to have a new offense this year. You're going to want to build around a guy. So it's just a question of who's there.
Did you see anybody there that was better than Spencer Rattler or that would outplay Spencer Rattler?
You know, it's,
or potentially. I mean, who knows,
really,
right?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because you're talking about a rookie versus second-year quarterback. Spencer, you'd hope, would go into the offseason and be able to develop some of the skills that maybe he struggled with, right? I think when you get 6 starts as a rookie quarterback, I mean, that's important. That's value, and you can use that in the offseason. So, you know, sell it, but who is to say the new coach who comes in has any interest in Spencer Rattler whatsoever? Mm-hmm. You know, it was the same issue for Jake Haener last year. You know, they spent a fourth-round pick on Jake Haener, then they changed their offensive coaching staff, and I think you saw throughout the season, while they liked Jake Haener, there was a pretty clear lean towards Spencer Rattler, right? So we'll see how that goes, but you know, I think if you, whenever you change coaching staffs, everything's on the table, and you're just gonna, it's just gonna be a question of who's available, who do you like, what offense do you want to use, who's your offensive coordinator, you know, are you gonna be a kind of a run based team of, you know, a zone read type team, and you need guys who can do anything.
So with that being said, and the Saints search for a head coach, and who's still available, and I guess tell me about the. First, the rule, not rule, but the week of the Super Bowl, there's no hiring, or what goes on there, Jeff?
Yeah, so you can't, you can hire a coach. You just can't hire a coach that's coaching in the Super Bowl.
Okay.
So if they were to hire Kellen Moore, they would have to wait until February 10th. And that kind of, you know, the silence is loud, right? Like, if they were planning to hire Mike Kafka, for example, who was actually there this week. We talked to him. He was the head coach for one of the teams at the Senior Bowl. You could have done that. You know, if you wanted to hire Darren Rizzi, you could have done that. If you wanted to hire Anthony Weaver, you could have done that. But, you know, they have not done that yet. And so the longer it goes on, the more and more likely it seems that Kellen Moore is the guy, because you would have incentive to hire one of these other guys early, because you have a lot of hires you have to make. You have a lot you have to figure out around them, and you just haven't done that. So we'll see how it goes. I do know they like Kellen Moore a lot. You know, they flew out to talk to him. It was an interview that went, you know, it started in the evening, went well into the morning. That was on Monday. So, you know, I would expect you will hear a little bit about that throughout the week, but you can't make a hire if it's Kellen until February 10th.
So let me take a break. We'll pick it up here. We come back, because I want to talk about then looking ahead to April and the draft. Or tell me about the free agency period. When does that start?
Oh yeah. I don't have that, that in front of me right now, but it's going to be a few weeks.
That's part of it, I guess, what I'm saying. And how does – that's part of the puzzle, as is the draft. And I'm just wondering, when it comes to assembling this puzzle and finding the pieces, what role would, if Kellen Moore's the new coach, have in this? And how does it affect the strategy? And what are the Saints planning for right now? Because nothing just happens. You got to be planning, I guess, drawing on different scenarios. We'll talk more when we come back, talking to Jeff Nowak. We'll also talk a little bit about the Super Bowl, as well as we continue to discuss the Saints, head coaches, Senior Bowl prospects, and more. Jeff's WWL Saints sideline reporter. Got any questions or comments? 504-260-1870, 850, 10 till 9, traffic now, WWL. Jeff Nowak is our guest, WWL Saints sideline reporter, freshly returned with half a sunburn from the Senior Bowl in Mobile. So somebody texted in, and I'm getting a lot of texts here, and let me try to combine them into a couple of different things. So if not Kellen Moore, who? And if Kellen Moore, does he run the offense? Does he bring in an offensive coordinator? And I'll add to this big, long Bobby Hebert question, the Saints also have needs on defense. So how do you put all that together?
No, and I mean, those are the big questions, right? And you did ask, you know, when the start of free agency is. It's March 12th, so you have a good bit of time before you have to start making those decisions. But there are a lot of decisions you have to make. And so you ask, if not Kellen Moore, then who? You know, I don't think that a lot of people are sure, right? I mean, I talked to a few assistants at the Senior Bowl this week, and, you know, they're kind of in a holding pattern. They're not sure what's going to happen. They're just kind of waiting. We've seen a few Saints assistants go elsewhere. The Saints aren't blocking interviews. They just want communication. So guys like Mike Hodges, he's in Cincinnati. Clint Kubiak is out in Seattle. Derek Foster is getting interviewed by the Cowboys. So, you know, they're all kind of trying to figure that out too. But, you know, I would guess Darren Rizzi is a candidate, right? I think if you're looking at these guys and you would say Kellen Moore is probably the front runner, you know, I like Darren. I think Darren would have an opportunity to build kind of an all-star staff around him. And, you know, I think Ed Ogeron with LSU is a good example of how you were able to do that. Like, you were kind of able to really focus on the staff as opposed to kind of the all-star hire at head coach. So that's something. But, you know, I would expect, you know, one of the reasons you want to bring in Kellen Moore, it's a similar reason you wanted to bring in Joe Brady, is, you know, you like that idea of that kind of hotshot young offensive coordinator who can kind of rebuild your offense into a modern scheme. It's what you hit on when you hired Sean Payton in 2006. And whether you're just trying to kind of, you know, go after that ghost again, I think that's the idea. So I would expect him to call plays. I would expect him to run the offense. And obviously, you know, the same way Sean Payton had Pete Carmichael for all those years, you will have an offensive coordinator that you lean on. But at the end of the day, when you're an offensive guy, the offense is going to be your baby. You're going to be the one who gets the grief for it if it doesn't go well, and you want to be the one who gets the praise for it when it does. So I would fully expect him to call plays. And then it's going to be a question of, hey, who's your defensive coordinator? And that's tough, because when you drag things out this late into the process, which you had to do if Kellen Moore is one of your top targets, a lot of guys are off the board. You know, a lot of defensive coordinators that you might have been interested in, they've been hired or they're set where they are, and they might not want to take another job this late into the process. So it's going to be a serious question. One guy who would make a lot of sense for the Saints as their offensive coordinator, if they did hire Kellen, would be Doug Nussmeier. He's the Eagles quarterbacks coach right now. Obviously, you know, has connections here in New Orleans. His son is Garrett Nussmeier, who's the quarterback at LSU, and he will be next year. So if Doug wants to be closer to Garrett, there would be incentive for him to make that move. So we'll see that. It's tough to know on the defensive side. There's so many questions and variables about what you're going to do. What kind of defense you want to run? Are you going to try to change the scheme? Are you going to try to find a scheme that fits the players in the building? So there's going to be a lot, but it's all going to, the first domino is the head coach. And once you get that, you'll have a much bigger picture, better picture of how it goes down the line.
I would presume that the new coach would have to have a say in the draft.
You know, it's not so much, I think people get confused sometimes with how the draft works, and it's not really, hey, I want to draft this guy, I want to draft this guy, I want to draft this guy. It's more, hey, what kind of player do you need? Like, what do you need your players to do? Tell us what traits you need in your offense on the defense you're going to play. You know, are you going to need more, are you going to switch to a 3-4, for example? Do we need more outside linebackers? Do we need guys who can rush in coverage, right? Or you're going to have a 4-3. Do we still need to look at these bigger bodied defensive ends? Are you going to play press man? Are you going to play more zone, right? Because if you switch to a more zone-based scheme, you're going to have to draft different corners. And so it's really that. It's the quarterback or the head coach, the coaches, the position coaches informing the scouts and the analysts that the Saints have on what they're looking for. And then they'll go and find those players, bring them back, and then you kind of have the brain trust make that decision. But that's really the intel that they'll give. They're not out there in most cases saying, banging the table, I want this guy, I want this guy. Maybe at quarterback, maybe at some of these big important positions, but not a majority of the time.
And I'm just wondering, again, when it comes to prioritizing needs, is on which side of the ball, or does it depend on who's available at the time?
I think when you're in the position the Saints are in, you're just drafting the best player and you're finding stars where you can find them and you're figuring out the rest. Mm-hmm. You're not plugging players into positions of need necessarily unless you are a playoff contender and you're looking to take that next step. So I think whoever's the best player on the board at 9, I take it.
Long way to go. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate your time. WWL Saints sideline reporter. We'll take a break. Come back. Talk to Ian McNulty. It's our favorite time of week. We get to lighten up a little bit, talk about eating and drinking in the city. If you have any questions or comments, 504-260-1870, where you've been eating or where would you like to try to eat? We'll ask Ian McNulty when we come back on WWL.